Hello, welcome to the GTN podcast, the official GTN podcast. My name's Alex, you can find me at AlexDoesCars on Twitter, and I'm with...
me.
Bentley J. Perkins, who you can find on
that
Twitter.
That is me.
At Bentley Perkins.
I think.
Does what it says on the tin.
It's been too long. I've forgotten.
Do you know what the date is? It's the 6th of March.
It's the 7th.
Is it?
It's the 6th. It's the 6th.
It's the 6th of March, which means it's the second press day of the Geneva Motor Show. One of the best motor shows in the world, or at least in Switzerland. I suppose what we're talking about in this podcast, we wanted to do a top five favourite things coming from the Geneva Motor Show.
Well, so far, anyway.
So far, yeah. And let's, you know, keep in mind that the show's going to go on for, you know, however many days after this. There's only been 2 days,
and these
are just the press days. Yeah. These are just the press days, so it's only journalists.
Lots of back-patting. Oh, you've done bloody gloriously with that car. Well, it's not actually out yet, and it probably never will release, but yes.
Actually, you know
what? Yes, we have done gloriously well.
there's some real bitching on Twitter, because I've been following it, and unfortunately we're not there, listeners, but we've been following the Geneva Motor Show, and to be honest, on Twitter, people are really starting to get a bit bitchy. There are some journalists, I won't mention their names, but... they really don't like the Mansory, the aftermarket body kits and all that.
Aftermarket body kits?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're kind of chavvy, aren't they? Kind of chavvy.
You mean like on the hot hatches and things?
No, like the Lamborghini Miura, not the Miura, I wish. the Lamborghini Anus. And,
that's another concept.
Yeah.
Anus. Oh, we love the Lamborghini Anus.
You love a bit of Anus.
I wrote about the Anus recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, make sure you check
not
out
my anus,
GrandTourNation.com.
The Lamborghini one.
So, shall we just dive right in?
Bum. Uranus plug.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
That's what Mr. Lamborghini thought of.
I'm gonna kick this off with Aston Martin. Aston Martin.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know they've got the Valkyrie. So they're basically taking the Valkyrie and they're just putting it like the technology and everything. So they brought out three cars, one being the Valkyrie, one being the Valkyrie AMR Pro, which is an even faster, sportier version.
Valkyrie.
Yep. and then the nicely named. It's a logical name, I suppose. It's called the RB003. RB obviously standing for Red Bull.
Ah, logical name in there.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Why wasn't it the VL771?
You know what? That's a better name. I think that's a better name. 771. Yeah. But the one thing I want to talk about is the new mid-engined Vanquish concept. So this is...
No.
I know, exactly. So...
No. He sent me this. We're just quickly butt in here. He sent me this. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Meet the new Vanquish. My response? No.
It's not a Vanquish.
His response? It's not a Vanquish. My response? No, it's not.
Yeah, so they've
and
taken...
And then three other people confirmed their thoughts.
Yeah, so basically the Vanquish, the front-engined rear-wheel drive GT car is no longer. It's gone. Take a Valkyrie, which is the kind of Red Bull F1 inspired thing by who's it by? I can't remember. What's his bloody name?
Who cares? Some bloke.
Who cares? Adrian Newey. I mean, he's a mad scientist and he's incredibly good at what he does. But he's made the Vanquish look like a supercar, which I don't think it should be.
No, it's not. It shouldn't be a supercar. It looks bordering on like a GT car or.
It looks. It looks like. I mean, it's okay. So the spec is
LMP.
Yeah, LMP car.
GT2.
Yeah,
that sort of. Yeah, Le Mans sort of style.
Yeah, exactly.
Look.
Yeah, it does.
Wrong.
Yeah.
No. Bad.
Yep.
Bad.
So it looks like they've taken the Valkyrie, made it a bit bigger, but instead of the Cosworth V12, they've added a V6.
Oh dear, it's going to sound like a freaking twisted fart as well.
Twisted fart. So they're looking at competing with the Ferrari 488, which is actually now called the Tributo. The new Ferrari is called the Tributo. And farting noises from Bentley, and they're taking on the McLaren 720S.
It's not a Vanquish.
We don't know much about it at the moment. Thank God, it's only a concept car. I think they need to take away the Vanquish name.
I would go as far to say as they've put it out as a concept to test the waters. And
oh yeah, definitely.
I'd be pretty shocked if it didn't meet the same response as what our group of five has come up with.
Yeah, from what I've seen, everyone's like, that's not a Vanquish. The Vanquish is supposed to be Bond's daily driver. You know, it's supposed to be a really nice GT car. It's fancy,
wonder if
classy.
They've done it to... I wonder if they've got a proper Vanquish in the line and they've done it as a bit of a PR stunt to get people talking about using their name.
Yeah, possibly. I mean...
It makes sense, wouldn't it? Because then people are tweeting hashtag not a Vanquish and all this crap and then suddenly they go, yeah. Oh, actually... This is our real car for 2020.
Yeah, boom. The thing is, I actually do think this is the Vanquish. It's horrible.
Pardon?
I actually do think, annoyingly, I think they are going to go through with this. Let me tell you a little bit about the spec. The spec hasn't been confirmed, but if we look at the competition, we're expecting 700 horsepower, maybe a little lighter than the 720S and co. It's got a bonded aluminium chassis. It's not carbon, but it's still incredibly lightweight.
Well, aluminium's nice anyway, isn't
exactly,
it, really?
Yeah, so
at the end of the day, carbon fractures and dies over time. Aluminium stays and upholds itself, so...
Yeah. I wish my Lexus was made of aluminium. It's not. It's made of iron oxide.
But it's just pure rust.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially the exhaust.
Brown.
My God. And the fuel tank.
The exhaust is something else, actually. It's...
Thankfully, there
is... I looked at it at the weekend, and I was like, what's going on with your exhaust? He said, thankfully, it's just the tip.
Yeah.
And that was his very words.
Yeah, because...
it's practically non-existent. It looks like a bit of an old bean can that's been left in the freaking field for 3 weeks.
It does. Thank God the rest of the bloody exhaust is aluminium. I bet that's rusting that. I bet that's like... Because aluminium...
Oxidizing.
It does eventually rust, doesn't it? It's just slower. Does it eventually rust?
It doesn't. Well, it doesn't rust. It oxidizes, though, yeah. So if it's particularly if paint's on it. So it oxidises under the paint and then the paint pops and then you get all that white powder come out.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I've just repaired my radiator.
Oh, right.
On the
right,
R1 on the for R1. The same reason.
Mm. Okay. That makes sense. Mm. Fair enough.
Fun.
Yeah. That was... God. We won't get into that. No. So, yeah, okay. So Vanquish we're not too sure about. But what about the new 12... wait for it. 12... million pounds, one of a kind, Bugatti La Voiture Noire.
La Voiture!
It's got 1,500... Basically, it's just a Chiron.
It's black.
1,500 horsepower. Yeah, Bugatti, the black car, I believe. I think that's what it's French for, the black car, if my French is correct, which it more than likely isn't. But, yeah, so it's...
What's that, Schwartz? It's German, isn't it, for white?
You
right. Noir is black, isn't it?
yeah, noir's black.
What's
white is
what's
blanc.
It called?
It's called the Bugatti La Voiture Noire.
Ah.
Probably. So it's a one of a kind.
Right.
It's being sold to the ex-CEO of the VW Group, Ferdinand Piëch. What a name. Ferdinand Piëch. Peachy.
Peach.
I think it's Peach. I think it's pronounced Peach.
One sec. Let me have a look at this quickly.
P-I-E-C-H.
What's his name?
Could be Peach.
Bloody hell.
Mm-hmm.
It does look good, though.
I think
in
it
all
looks
fairness.
Really, really good. So they're
so aggressive. It looks like a bird.
Yeah. So
the front.
So what they did is they tried to replicate the old the coach built Type 55 SC Atlantic, which is a really old. Classic Bugatti, and it looks incredible. It really does look incredible.
Wow, the RSN looks great as well.
It's got six exhaust tips. Six exhaust tips.
That is
absolutely amazing.
I can see the Bugatti. It's from now as well. Yeah. I know that car.
I like it. A lot of people are saying that it's too expensive, which yes, it is. But it's Bugatti. Who gives a hell?
Yeah,
who
but
gives
the
a
thing
shit?
Is,
yeah.
They've built it to sell it to someone they know that can. That's like pocket change.
I mean, yeah, he owns the VW Group. Or well, he was the CEO anyway. He was the CEO of the VW Group. I think he was going to.
So this is
a
gift, basically.
Yeah, it's a gift to him. And I mean, do you think it's actually going to be driven? That's the thing, you know. Is it going to be driven, or Is it going to be just
cats be put in a truck and taken around the country showing off it?
Yeah, probably. Probably. And driven around that little place in London.
It's,
oh, it's a bit of kit.
I mean, if they released it and sold it for 2 million, people would probably buy it. You'd see them on the road.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. The one thing I've just noticed, actually, look at the tyres. The wheels, the pattern of the wheels are actually painted onto the tyres to make them look larger. I quite like that.
That is a render, though, so that's in a render. You take that on the street, that freaking paint will flake off so quick, your bloody aunt won't be able to chase it down the road.
Why'd my aunt be chasing it down the road anyway? That's a good question.
Well, she might want to put the paint back on your wheels for you.
That'd be, that'd be a great BBC drama, wouldn't it? Paint chaser. Alex's aunt takes on the Bugatti.
Down, 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 down.
Roadrunner. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like it. There's not much to know. It's basically
really amazing.
Which means, 1500 horsepower, 16 cylinders, W16, 8 liter. What else can I say? It looks gorgeous.
Imagine just driving it out the car park and then thinking,
I've just got a stone.
My bumper's gone.
Yes.
Because you've just gone over the wrong way.
That's £1 million.
On those backward spike strips.
Oh God, yeah. Can you imagine?
Imagine it. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Mm.
With all your pipes.
Oh, that's
rips off
that's
everything.
The sound of a Bugatti breaking.
Wham!
And I mean,
oh, sorry.
the one thing about this car,
just my arse end getting torn off.
I mean, the one thing about this car is that I love it. It's too expensive. Only one's going to be made. That means that we are more than likely never going to see it in person, and that's a massive shame.
That is a shame, actually. It's a lot of time and hard work gone into something that's never going to be seen. But in all fairness, they'll bring it out. You know them.
Yeah, I mean, at least we get to see it on YouTube, I suppose.
Yeah, it'll be out. They'll release that.
Yeah.
There'll be enough people saying, I've got 12 million quid if you build me on.
You think they're going to build more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'd be pretty sure of it. Well, wouldn't you? If someone come along and said, well, it's 12 million quid to build me one of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Pagani.
You've got to remember, there's a lot of people in the world that 12 million quid is nothing.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like Pagani. Pagani were like, you know, we're only going to make however many Ajiras. And then someone was like, but what if I give you loads and loads of money? And they're like, well, okay.
Yeah. Only takes Mr. Toff up the road to say, well, my family trust fund says that I can have 12 million this month. And I'm going to spend it on that car if you make it for me.
Yep. Spend it on my car, but live in a shed. I would live in a shed if I could have a car like that.
Oh, no, don't live in a shed, dear. I live in a bloody stately home and my bath cost $970,000 and the door was $400,000 gold gilded, did you know?
I did actually see this. What's it called? There's a program in the UK called... what's that one where it follows people making really interesting houses? Oh, what's it called?
Grand Designs.
Grand Designs, that's the one. This guy spent like $10,000 on a carbon fibre bath and it was just like... it was like you couldn't. It wasn't big enough to actually have a bath in. It was more like an art piece. I say in inverted commas. It was just stupid.
Wow, that's like going completely off track about money and homes. My father once worked in a house, and this is where I got this $200,000 door from. Someone did actually pay. It was Arab.
Yeah,
you know the Arab the princes.
Prince. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, he had got £250,000 solid gold door.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't solid, but you know it was heavy enough with laden with gold that it had to have the hinge or the door frame had to be braced with steel, and then it was on proper, you know, like industrial hinges.
Yeah.
Like vault door hinges, just to take the weight of the door. So, but it was $250,000.
Oh my God. God, people have too much
and that
money.
It was just a door. It wasn't to anything special.
Yep.
It was just a door in the house. He liked it.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, spend £250,000 on a car. I wonder how much money they give to charity.
None.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I could have said something else and I didn't hold myself back.
Yep. Okay, talking of stupid figures and stupid numbers, how does 300 mile an hour sound to you? Sound pretty fast, doesn't it?
Well, I can do 180 on my bikes. It sounds quite fast.
It Yeah, and the bike, good. It sounds 180 good. Is ridiculous speed, especially on a bike. Bloody hell. We'll get back to that. But 300 mile an hour, Koenigsegg Jesko, named after Christian von Koenigsegg's father, who helped him start the company back when he was 22.
Oh, what a nice man.
I actually really like him. He's a nice, bold, happy man. And he's an incredibly talented engineer. So he basically, you know, Chiron, the Bugatti company, no longer in the top speed game. They're out. They're looking at different niches.
It's a piece. I've just looked at it.
Yeah, it's a proper big kit. Hennessy Venom F5, they've said that they can do 300 mile an hour. Whether they actually can, it's another story, because they haven't done it yet.
It's all in the actual figures when it goes on the track.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Or long road in Nevada. And then Koenigsegg, who currently have the record with the Agera R, 277 mile an hour, something like that. They have just brought out the Jesko, which looks very. It looks very similar to the Koenigsegg 1-to-1. It's not really a new design, really.
So wait, they have built a car to beat their own record.
Yep, and they're saying they've run simulations that can do 300 mile an hour. But let me talk to you about
that
gearbox.
Tires, though. Don't you need tires that can deal with that for a start?
No, they didn't say anything about the tires. The press release were like, yeah, tires. No, it was just an excuse from Bugatti, I expect. So let me just talk you through the specs, because it's just
paint them silver; they'll take it.
Yeah. So I mean, these specs are ridiculous. Let me just tell you these numbers. So where are the numbers? I can't find them. I yabbered on in this article. Right. Okay. 5 litre twin turbo V8. Fine. That's from the Agera.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So the flat plane crank has been first of all. I mean, the Agera had a 90-degree crank. This one now has a flat plane, which has been lightened by 5 kilograms, and apparently that's made it sound a load better. There's also rubber engine mounts, which are able to absorb the extra vibrations.
What were the last ones? Porcelain?
Yeah.
Haven't they been using rubber mounts since like the 60s?
Yeah, but these are adaptive rubber mounts.
Ah, adaptive ones. Yeah. What's that? The bolt. You loosen the bolt, move it slightly, and think, yeah, that looks good. And put the bolt back down again.
No, they automatically change to optimise the engine vibration.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's ridiculous. So, wow. And then
that is ridiculous.
There's a 20-litre carbon tank, which fires jets of air into the turbos at 20 bar. 20 bar pressure to help them spall faster.
Jesus, that's a freaking... That's a bit of pressure.
It is, isn't it? So to help that helps them spall faster and reduces lag.
It's closing in on spray gun pressure.
I know, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We interrupt this podcast with a message from our sponsors. And by sponsors, I mean ourselves. Find us at GrandTourNation.com. Also search GrandTourNation on everything. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast. If you're this far through, then you must love it. Want to sign up to our Patreon? For just $1, we can feed Bentley and buy equipment to keep this podcast going. And we would greatly appreciate it. On 95 octane, it's almost 1,300 horsepower. But on E85 biofuel, it's 1,600 horsepower.
That's crazy.
And over 1,000.
And crazy how much difference that fuel makes.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Just goes to show you that you buy crap fuel, you really are destroying your BHP and your little 90 horsepower Honda.
Yeah, it's true. But the great thing about this is the gearbox. So the current gearboxes they were using, I don't know who they were by.
Is it yellow?
It's not yellow, actually. It's black.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame. So,
well, the rest of the little yellow accents, I thought they might have made the gearbox
they should have
yellow.
Done that. Yeah. Yellow. That'd the be green really accents, cool. You Wally.
That's yellow.
It's green.
It's yellow.
Oh, this is the blue and yellow dress, isn't it? What was it? Blue and yellow? Blue and green dress? Can't remember.
Blue and green.
Yellow. It's green. Oh, God damn it.
What?
It's green. It's anyway, yellow. Let me talk about this gearbox. So. They built their own gearbox because the gearbox they were using just couldn't handle power. It's smaller than the Chiron's. It's lighter by 90 kilograms than the Chiron's. And it's much smarter. So it's a 9-speed multi-clutch transmission. You know this has 6 clutches? 6
Really?
Clutches. They call it the light speed gearbox.
Doesn't a drag car?
Yeah.
It has clutches like that. They stack them up or something.
Oh,
so
but
you
this
get,
isn't
because they
isn't
can't
stacked.
Literally take the power.
This is clutches for each gear, basically, almost. So it has 3.
Maybe that's what drag cars. No, maybe that's what drag cars do then. Because do you remember we spoke to that guy about the drag car and he said about the
multiple
clutches
clutch
in
plates,
it.
I believe. Not, I mean, oh, I could be wrong, actually. I don't know much about drag racing. I don't know.
It might be multiple plates. Could be.
But this has 9 clutches, each completely independent. 3 cogs at the front of the gearbox, 7 at the back, which means 21 different ratios. For this, I know, exactly. So they're using 6 clutches, and that means that basically it can go into any gear at any time. It's just ridiculous. So
it's pretty quick then when it shifts.
It's pretty quick, and because of that, they've had to add extra damping, a whole new bloody suspension system, plus a horizontal damper to stop squatting. And they've added a load of aerodynamics, which won't be on the car that's going to go through in Jamal an hour. There's the low drag version, which is going to do that. It produces 1,400 kilograms of downforce.
Bloody hell.
I know.
Sticks to the ground then.
It does. So
we should drive it on the ceiling. That's what I want to try. I want to try that.
The thing is, it weighs 1,400 kilograms. And it produces 1,400 kilograms, but that's at top speed.
It wouldn't hold.
At 155 mile an hour, it's 800 kilograms. At 171 mile an hour, it's 1,000 kilograms. So, yeah, it wouldn't hold.
It wouldn't hold.
But
bloody hell, it's still insane.
Exactly, yeah. And even, you know, despite it being the fastest car, incredibly, you know, just performance orientated, it's got inside wireless charging, automatic hydraulic struts for the boots and doors and the clamshell. Which you can press a button on the key and it opens up automatically. It's got things like Apple CarPlay. It's got a screen in the middle of the steering wheel, which stays upright.
That's not a distraction. What are you watching? Friends doing 180 mile an hour.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just cool. It's Koenigsegg. It's just cool. Ahead of the game.
It looks great as well.
It does look great.
I like a decent looking car, and that looks decent.
Yeah. So 125 of these are going to be built. At a rate of 50 per year, $3 million each plus taxes. So what? That's how much is tax on a $3 million thing? I'm not sure.
Depends on the import, doesn't it? Depends on the country, etc.
It does.
But yeah, it's looking at $4 million, isn't it? Really?
At least. But yeah. Oh, how cool! That is my favorite.
That is one car I would have if I could afford sort of.
I've always been a fan of
a car.
Koenigsegg.
Yeah, Koenigsegg do some.
Go the Swedes.
That is special. How many Swedes?
Go the Swedes. All the Swedes.
Go in the Swedes, what, put them in stew?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, I love Sweden stew.
With those nice green accents. Yeah. Yellow accents, sorry.
Green accents, they're not bloody yellow.
Oh, yellow. Mm-mm. Michelin's on those tyres. Interestingly, they have actually done a similar thing with the tyres. That must be a new theme.
Have they? Oh, I didn't notice.
Look at the tyres. They have done between the spokes, they've painted them white.
Have they?
Yeah.
I think that might just be the rim.
No, it's not. That's a bloody tyre, you wally woofter.
Is it?
Look.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't
see it.
You see
it?
No.
From the side-on picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you looking at the picture?
The wall of the tyre is painted white. In gaps between the... How can you not see that? It's blatantly obvious.
Well, is there just one? In between two of the spokes?
No, it's between all of them apart from the one with the Michelin logo.
I can't see that.
Wow. One second.
We may be looking at different images. I wonder if we're looking at different images. Send it to me. But while you do that, what are your favourite bits from the show?
Here we go. Look.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at different images.
Oh.
I'm looking at the actual press reveal images.
Oh, right. I'm looking at the...
I don't like that.
The ones.
Oh, mine hasn't even got the Michelin logo on it.
Hasn't it?
No. Mine's got it, tiny... Tiny writing.
Oh, you're looking at the renders.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, the real thing looks better, in my opinion.
It always looks
Those
better.
Those rear lamps look good.
Yeah. I think the car's cool. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, same here.
Tell me, Ben. Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, well, the Ginetta, I suppose.
The Ginetta. I do like the Ginetta.
Yeah.
Well, no, I say that. I like the idea of the Ginetta. I don't like the
way
it
looks. Like the racing series that follows.
Oh, the racing series is great. I mean, they really prove.
Yeah.
They can make a car. They can really make a car.
Oh yeah, they can make a car. But this is their attempt at a supercar, which
road legal
like a plastic surfboard.
Yeah, it looks like they've taken an F1 car, cranks it up, like raised the ride height, and then added more wings and spoilers underneath.
Yeah. And then there's some like gaping hole. They thought, you know what? Shall we around the front wheel? Shall we? Shall we add more wing? And someone said,
"Wait, my
no, I know
what
would. We'll add skirts, and we'll just make them flick up a little bit, and that look really good."
Yeah.
All I can think of is when you go down a muddy surface, it's going to flick up and get all inside your door rim.
Yeah. I've got to say, I cannot find a good looking part of that car. That's my opinion. I don't like it.
I would say I like it up to the headlamps. And then after that, I don't.
What, the literal nose cone? The headlamps are right at the front of the car.
Literally. The nose cone and the front fins, that's about it.
I like what they're trying
to do. Oh, no. Scratch that. I like the chairs as well. They're beautifully made. Built into it. Built into the carbon chassis. Yes, the carbon firewall. That's lovely.
Yeah, the wheels are nice. The wheels have a nice design.
I have to look at those.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah,
your mirror as well. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, from the front, it looks good.
Yeah, it does.
It does look good from the front.
So, what figures are we talking?
I've got to find them. One sec, give me a shot.
Do you want me to read them out for you?
Apparently, it's a natural aspirated V8.
Yep.
That's mounted ahead of the cockpit, so it's front engine. Then that's good, isn't it?
I like a front engine. I think it's pushed. From the look of the car, it looks like it's pushed quite far back.
I would imagine it sits.
I think it's almost mid-engined, like the Mercedes AMG.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, the engine's in front of you, but it's pushed so far back that it kind of.
Yeah, it might as well be in the
counts
middle.
As, yeah. 600 horsepower.
Apparently, it should be good for 600 brake horsepower with 516 foot-pound of torque.
That's all right.
It's not terrible, but then it's not actually all that great. Not in the supercar
league.
Depends
how heavy it is.
Ah, well, this is the dry weight is 1,100 kilos.
That's all right.
Which is
that's all right. That's less than
light.
My MX-5,
yeah.
The one I crashed.
So that's a weight ratio of 500 brake horsepower per ton. It's not terrible.
That's really not terrible. That's really hot.
That's not bad. So I bet it shifts. So I imagine it shifts.
Yeah, and it looks like from... I mean, Ginetta know their aero. They're going to be, you know, they've got hands on. It's going to be an aerodynamic car. I bet it doesn't just shift, but I bet it really takes it in the corners.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Apparently it's pulling... At 100 mile an hour, it's doing 376 kilos of downforce.
Really? That's not bad.
That's not bad either.
That's not
no,
bad.
It's not.
I mean, this isn't going to be a really fast car. I mean, let's face it. It's
interesting. Okay, right. So you can tell I haven't read about this at all. I've literally just jumped on and said that looks good. The boot is big for what it is. It's 675 litres.
What?
That's
massive, isn't it?
That is a lump. Yeah, that's a big amount of space. They said it's ideal for grand touring. Well, that explains why the arse end looks shit.
Yes, it does. It's almost, you know what, it's almost like a shooting brake. It reminds me of a shooting brake.
Yeah, it is a bit, yeah. With a overdone wing.
Mm, you know, it's like the aero wagon Corvette. If you don't know what that is, Google it, because it's badass. It's like it's a shooting brake conversion for the Corvette. I think it looks cool. A lot of people don't like it, but I don't, you know, whatever. But it kind of reminds me of that. Would I buy one though? Probably not.
There's 20 being made and they're 400 grand.
Well,
no,
I won't buy one.
Nah.
But if you had 400 grand and they offered you one,
would you buy it? No.
No, why not?
No, there's so much else out there that's lower than that and looks nicer.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And it probably, in all fairness, probably performs better as well. They've got quite a good racing pedigree, haven't they, Ginetta, with their Ginetta class.
Yep.
But
yep. I think
that's a very different animal.
Yeah, I think they need to
prove
themselves.
And they're driven by 14-year-olds.
They are. Fast 14-year-olds. Mm. I think they need to prove themselves on the road.
Extremely talented drivers, but...
I think they need to prove themselves with this car. If this car comes out and it's reviewed well, then they need to do something else. Maybe make it look a bit better. And really invest some money into it. And then we can kind of think, okay, Ginetta, they're getting there. What? They're doing it.
See, I'd be very intrigued by... Oh, yeah, it is mid-engine. Bloody hell, it's actually under your freaking arse.
Is it?
Yeah, bloody literally hell. Under your arse, yeah. I'm interested, though, because Ginetta don't have their own engines, do they? Don't they use Alfa engines?
Alfa? In the race cars, I think it's Ford.
Is it? I swear that... Do you know the Ginetta that we saw at...
Yep.
Thingy, I swear he said that that was an Alfa engine. A V6 Alfa.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It was, yeah, no, the junior one. Actually, the junior one was really baby. It's a restricted to 100 horsepower, and it's the 1.8 litre Z-Tech.
Wow, that sounds so good for a Z-Tech.
It does, doesn't
God
it?
God damn, yeah.
Bloody hell. Yeah, that's because they were launched for young people. The engine in the most recent versions, whatever they are, they produce 165 brake horsepower, and they're using sequential gearboxes. But that's junior, remember? This is still junior. Yeah, I can't find anything on the adult class.
No, so. Neither can I.
Well, yeah, it's because the juniors is actually a thing, isn't it? Oh, well, we've gone on. Yeah, that's... so we've decided we probably wouldn't buy one. We definitely wouldn't buy one because there's only 20 being made and they're 400 grand.
Yeah, that's true.
And it looks pretty unsightly.
But we respect it and we hope... Yeah, I hope they...
I hope that they can make... They actually get into the road, like, road market more because they do some cool stuff.
They do. And that means, you know, more money for the racing stuff, which is always a good thing. Getting newbies into the racing scene, which is great.
Yeah, and it gives kids a chance, doesn't it? That's what I like about that company. Yeah, they've made their own series and...
God, yeah.
Yeah. It gives young lads a chance. Well, young lads a chance to get out on the track.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that they didn't have the chance before, because they've just come from carts where their parents spent 25, 30 grand every freaking season to keep them on the kart track. Yeah. Madness.
Yeah. Right, come on then, round it up.
Right, it up. I suppose the rounding it up is going to have to be Peugeot's news. Not really a fan of Peugeot, I've got to be honest.
No, neither am I. But except for their GTI.
Yeah, that's true. The old one.
Oh, even the new one I think is pretty good.
Yeah,
but anyway, carry on.
The old one's quite cool. So they've released this, at the Geneva show, they've released the 508. Which is in their new...
So
it does look good. I've got to be honest.
Looks so good.
It does look good. I'd like
Peugeot
to
are back.
They've actually tried. They've completely moved away from the 2000s and gone into... Well, now.
Yep. Yeah, it looks bloody modern.
It does look good. It looks sharp, stylish. Yep. It's got a little bit of sports to it, but it looks comfortable as well, actually.
Yeah, it does.
But it's actually to mark... this one's 350 brake.
Right.
But it's been released to mark the flagship of what Peugeot's new... what's a good word for that?
The Halo car.
Halo car. Freaking Warthog.
I mean...
I suppose it's their new mandate, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they've decided that... So every car they produce, well, they're looking at every car that they currently produce, they're going to now do one of these hybrid sports type style of each one they make. And that means that's right across the board as well. They're even looking at the SUV side and
that's
the MPVs
great.
And things like that, which is, I think that's really cool.
Cool
because we haven't seen a sporty MPV. And I'm a bit of a fan of the 7-seater Toyota stuff they used to do, like 3-litre big engines, like they used to, rip snorters.
Yeah.
And the VXR, Vauxhall used to do a VXR Zafira.
Yes.
But you don't, and you don't, you don't really see anymore. They do the manufacturers, but they've got like R line, like Volkswagen. They've got R line, but it's not a truly powerful car. It's just trim, basically.
Well, so, well, the Golf R line's pretty damn fast.
No, not in their SUVs.
Oh no, not in the SUVs.
I mean, we like the Touareg, the R line thing that we went in that Touareg, like, but it weren't bloody sports. Truck,
yeah, it's like the Nissan's been given everything the Nismo treatment, and it's basically just
that bloody what's it, Duke Nismo?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. What I'm saying is exciting. They actually pulled through on this and have an SUV that's quick, and the MPV. If they bring that back, that'd be really cool. And that'd be like a reignition of what they did in the 90s.
Yeah,
I think that could definitely be really, really cool.
I'm excited. I think Peugeot are back.
I think they could produce some really cool stuff. It's just annoying that I don't really have much trust in their quality, because I drive Peugeots all day long and they just break.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But maybe this is a turned corner.
Yeah, I haven't driven a new Peugeot, so I can't comment. But I'm excited to see them, because they were in a really good place in the 90s.
They were, you know, yeah, they did. But a lot of manufacturers were, to be fair. They made some cool stuff.
Yeah, but then Peugeot went really mainstream. And to be honest, they succeeded. And they did pretty well.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for them I'm excited for them kind of returning to form and bringing out some really, hopefully, some sporty models. And I hope because they brought in the hybrid tech, I'm hoping that they use it as a performance improvement device. Less than a kind of buy this and you don't have to pay for road tax thing, like BMW's doing.
Yeah,
that's useless. It just makes the car heavier, and people, you know, it's got like 20 miles, but yet they don't have to pay road tax. You know, it's...
yeah, and they're absolutely awful. I've driven the 3 Series and the 5 Series in their electric thing, and they weren't great.
Yeah,
they were sluggish, laggy, heavy. Loud was that was I tell you what that was the most completely off topic but that was the most like irritating thing about those cars, especially the M5 the 530.
Yeah,
is okay, it's electric, so you expect it to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of the loudest saloons I've ever sat in. It was terrible. You pay this, I don't know how much they are. They're not. That's not a cheap car.
At least,
I don't know how much.
Grand, 70 grand
got,
for a base
they
model.
They've got to be 60, haven't they? 50, 60? I don't know.
Yep,
something like that. But whatever they are, price-wise, I could honestly turn around and say I would not have one of those for that amount of money, purely down because of the noise.
Isn't it?
It was terrible. Never. Honest God's to truth, my 20-year-old van on the motorway is quieter than one of those cars.
That is crazy.
I'm being dead serious about that.
That is mad.
It was mad. It literally, you could hear... You'd go past a car, or a lorry was a good example, a lorry, and you'd actually hear that...
Of the
freaking wheels! It's mental!
God. Okay, well, BMW, if you're listening to this, I doubt you are, but if you are, please...
More soundproofing.
Yeah, more soundproofing.
The batteries. Get rid of the bloody batteries. Put more soundproofing in.
Yeah, give us a proper car. Actually, yeah, let us test a car. Show us what you've actually got available. Because at the moment, we're not happy.
No.
Apparently.
No, it wasn't, in all honesty, they weren't great cars to drive, and I think that's because of the battery in them. I think
just
they got
dead
so
weight.
Much weight. Yeah, they were
that's
heavy.
The thing. Because
they felt like driving a tank.
Drivers, yeah. The thing about these BMWs is that they're not charged. They are just... The batteries are there so you don't have to pay tax.
Yeah.
That's basically...
It's a loophole, basically.
Yeah. And you don't charge them, so they are just dead weight, which actually means you're using more fuel anyway, which means they're, guess what, producing more carbon emissions.
Yeah.
So I hope Peugeot don't go down that line. But
I don't think they will, you know. But I mean, by this article, I mean, literally, the guy's saying we're looking at fully electric stuff. That's one of our big things. But the main thing they want to focus on is the fact that these hybrid sports versions of each of their model lineup including the GTI, which they want to do.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
Pardon?
I can't wait for that.
No, that should be bloody good. But interestingly, this is what I like, and this is what makes me think they won't be doing what BM have done, is the fact they've turned around and said, our rally car, oh, don't worry about that, that's not going to be electric. That's still going to be a three-cylinder turbocharged engine.
Good old Peugeot.
Yeah, and that makes me think, oh, okay, fair enough. They're doing that. They obviously don't give a monkeys about the environment, so they're actually doing it as a proof of concept more than anything.
Yeah, what I love about that is that they're talking about hybrids and they just go, but don't worry, motorsport's going to be okay.
Don't worry, we're still using petrol there. Yeah. It's far
still
superior.
We're burning ground up and pressurised bones. It'll be great.
Oh, dear.
So, best bit of news.
Interesting, though, I will just note there's one thing I've noticed.
Yep.
Going through these pictures, there is a definite theme this year of Hy-Vis yellow / green accents.
You know what? I was noticing that. I think the colours in general are much brighter.
Yeah, and weirdly, they did this on bikes about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, with the release of the MT. So the Yamaha MT released.
Yeah,
I think it was about 6 years ago, something like that. They released the MT10 in like these. It was basically a grey. In fact, it was almost identical to that grey that the Peugeot's in.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like a dark metallic gunmetal grey. And then they had bright yellowy green fluorescent wheels and a couple of other bits. And they looked amazing.
The year after,
everyone was doing it. And the year after that, everything else was bright. Everything had gone bright colours. No more. Well, the black had sort of faded away a little bit and everything went bright.
Sure.
So that makes me wonder if this will set the tone again.
Yep.
And in the next few years, we'll start seeing... Because do you remember when, like, Volkswagen released that apple green Scirocco? I love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looked great. Yeah, the great colour. And then you obviously had Asbo Orange. That Asbo Orange, the green Ford had.
Yep, yep.
And then you had, like, a real burnt orange colour that Clio came out with. The
burnt chicken nugget.
Burnt chicken nugget. Like a bunch of gingers all stuck in an oven. Oh dear, ginger nuts.
I think bright colours are coming back.
Pardon?
And you know what? I think bright colours are coming back, and I blame
your
McLaren.
Network has just completely gone. So I didn't hear whatever you said after ginger nuts, and you're gonna have to wait because your network is still gone.
I'm back.
You are back.
So I need to pop off very soon anyway. So I'm gonna have to cut this podcast a bit short.
All right. Okay.
But, okay, best news from the Geneva show. What would you say it is? Okay. What car are you most looking forward to hitting the road?
Of all the ones that we've spoken about, you mean?
Yeah. The ones we've spoken about. I'm looking at the Koenigsegg.
Pardon?
I'm looking at the Koenigsegg.
The same here.
Yeah.
And that's so based on everything, to be honest. I really, really like the way it looks.
Oh, that's great, isn't
it? The performance there, and I really love why it's been built.
Yeah, it's got
to say thanks, Dad.
A really defined purpose, and yeah, exactly. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Oh yeah, thanks, Dad, for giving me a couple of million quid to start up a car company when I was 22.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to make you a couple of quid car just for you now. Yeah,
that'd be nice.
When you're in your 80s and you can't drive it, really, I built it for myself.
He's got to be 90 odd now.
He is 90 odd. Yeah, it says it in the article. Yeah, he's 90 odd.
Well, on that lovely gooey moment.
Yeah, that was a gooey moment, wasn't it?
We'll leave you. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm going to go and grow a great big poo now.
Oh, nice. You know what?
300 mile an hour poo. That's what I'm going to try.
That's painful. The bullet train.
Friction. Friction on the gooch.
Oh,
in reverse.
God damn it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you very much, folks. And speak to you next week. Good day.